We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, want to tell everybody WWL is your home for LSU baseball, and it starts tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 in the box. LSU plays number one ranked Arkansas, and pregame starts at 5:30 right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. First pitch at 6 p.m. And then Friday, I think it's pregame at 6:30 and the game starts at 7. And Saturday's matchup, 1:30 pregame, 2 p.m., and you can hear it all right here on the Big 870, WWL, and free on the Odyssey app. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, host of Before the Whistle podcast. Also, she's the football sideline reporter for the Tulane Green Wave, Maddie Hudak. Maddie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Finally caught up from the early day yesterday.
I got it. I knew you were busy yesterday. Maddie, you and I have had this conversation. When you got a really good quarterback that can play in the NFL, you're going to have a lot of peeping eyes there. So they had a lot of people there at the Green Wave Pro Day. And, okay, that it's really more of a beauty contest. You sort of know what Michael Pratt can do and maybe some of the weaknesses that he has. But he really threw the football well. That's not a surprise to me. And I think that once you get past, you're going to have to figure out exactly where Penix and Bo Nix go. And I still think somehow, some way, they're going to squeeze into round one. Then it becomes the intrigue on where Pratt will fall. I think Spencer Rattler will go ahead of him, but I don't think it'll be too much farther for him. And I think you're looking at late second into round three for Michael Pratt, but you were there, how well he threw the football. And I think the most important thing, his interaction with people, because I think that you know if that guy can play or not. It's how well he interacted with his teammates and also the coaches and people from the NFL that were there.
Yeah, that's what always sticks out to me about Michael Pratt. And really going to the Senior Bowl, you can see really why these quarterbacks want to throw at their pro day and throw with the guys that they're used to throwing to, because it is a little ugly for a little bit of the time down in Mobile. But for me, it's always been, how are the quarterbacks really interacting as leaders? Because presumably, you know, they're going to get drafted. Even if they're a backup on a team, everyone still looks to the quarterback for guidance. And then you have to be able to command a room of strangers who are likely going to be a lot older than you are, being that drafted quarterback. So to see him be able to do it with strangers, but then really to just see how much he really is a great teammate. You know, he only participated in the throwing sessions. He didn't opt to do any of the testing that day, but that really wasn't until an hour and a half into Pro Day, and he was there from the beginning, really just encouraging all the guys on the bench press. He's just always so active and encouraging with them, and that to me is really where you see those intangibles stick out. But you also got a chance to see him throwing to guys like Lawrence Keys, Jaquan Jackson again, but actually being able to do so while all three of them were healthy, including a few other receivers that really helped out that day. But I just thought you really got a chance to see what that trio can all really do when under full health.
Maddie, one of the things, I get some phone calls from friends of mine who are in the scouting department, is about the defensive backs, the two cornerbacks. Jerish Monroe, I remember when he was at East St. John and he started at Nicholls State and he transfers to Tulane. And then Lance Robinson, who he De La Salle guy, and he goes to Kansas State and transfers to Tulane. A little bit about their workouts. I think both those guys have an opportunity to get picked late, or if not, priority free agents. I've got Monroe ranked a little bit higher than Lance, but I think both these guys have an opportunity to play at the next level with teams looking for cover corners so bad, because you just can't have three of them. You got to have four or five the way the league is, and spread the receivers out. Your thoughts on Monroe and also with Lance?
Yeah, so I thought they both performed really well during Pro Day. Since it was originally supposed to be at Yeoman Stadium, we would have probably had the ability to get those times a little more, whereas, you know, the scouts all just kind of confer in the middle, and then they decide what the 40 times were. So we were all kind of going off of eye checks and really attempting on our end, but they all performed just really well in all aspects of it, looking at their verticals and their broad jumps as well. Again, not having necessarily the exact numbers there, but all of them kind of being this good surprise. I spent a lot of time standing on the sideline with Rob Green, who was one of our safeties coaches from last season, and so he was really, you know, locked in on his guys. I'd also point out Cam Pettislow was someone to me that looked to be a little stronger than we were used to seeing him, and perform well in the testing as well. And I just think the versatility of all those guys sticks out. You think about Jarius Monroe coming in halfway during the season for Jaden Kennedy in the Cotton Bowl year for Tulane, and then, you know, talking with Lance Robinson, they had to really change the way all of them played in their coverage, because Jaden Kennedy and Lance Robinson were very similar, but with those different body types, it just really dictated a completely different way that they played defense. And looking at their ball skills from last year, I mean, the two of them total 7 interceptions and 17 pass breakups. And just whenever they were targeted in coverage in critical moments, that to me is really where they both stuck out, was their interceptions and pass breakups on third and fourth down when the game was really on the line. That's where you saw those guys really shine.
One of the things with Jarius, you can't teach size and his ability to kind of man cover. And with Lance, he can run. I mean, he can flat out run. Because I remember in high school, he was part of the state championship team in the football 100-meter relay. So one thing is, if you're part of that, I know you can run. And I think he's gotten much better as a technical corner with his footwork and his ability to sort of mirror a receiver and get his head turned around quicker.
Without question, he's been someone that's been such a pleasure to really watch grow into his own since the 2021 year, where he was hurt a little bit. He kind of played in and out and then had to really grow up as that starter in the Cotton Bowl year, and then became really that veteran guy when Jarius Monroe had to come in. And just watching how his ball skills have really come along this year. But I always think back to that Kansas State game, which I know was special for him. You know that he's actually played under Bill Snyder, that defense, and gone up against a really good competition level here too in those 7-on-7s and the receivers that we see come out of Louisiana. But his open field tackle against Adrian Martinez on fourth down, where he just came from the complete opposite side of the field. He read it perfectly. You hear this term play speed, and we all know Lance can run fast, but not only can he run fast, he can diagnose a play, and then he's just there. And he's really good as a run tackler. When you talk about that technique, he's not that big of a guy, but he is such a functional strength tackler and was really just willing to go for it. And that, to me, makes up for a lot of his height, as well as his ability to get high and make those interceptions.
The other thing, too, is get your head turned around. I don't know some of the techniques they teach them today with this mirror stuff. And then almost like they don't get their head turned around quick enough. You saw the improvement with Jarius and also Lance in that ability. And I think that's crucial. Okay, you can cover, but if you don't get your head turned around, the receiver can make the catch over you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think back to Jarius Monroe's interception in the Cotton Bowl, and, you know, that was a route that he had gotten burned on before, but they're just really good at reading the quarterback's eyes and just knowing, like you said, when to turn around at that point. Otherwise, that ball was going straight over his head. But there was just all the picks that Lance had. It was very surprising just to watch in a split second how quickly he was able to turn around. And when you talk with these guys, it's just a film study that they really, really work on. And just as much as they talk about the coaches, the guys like J.J. McCleskey and Rob Green and those guys that have really been there working on their techniques, but to just watch those two really come into their own, both as leaders on the defense when you lost a lot of that from Nick Anderson, Dorian Williams, and then moving on, those were two guys that I saw both really step up on and off the field.
Talking about speed, Jaquan Jackson, I saw him in high school at Hornville, and I mean, he's got a lot of it. He reminds me a lot of Darnell Mooney, really does. I think there's a lot of similarities between the two of them, a little bit different kind of style, but there is almost kind of, if you place it side by side, a lot of the same type player. Was there brought up any conversation about him and the return game? Because now with the new kickoff rule, I think that that's an area where Jaquan might be able to hit it, and he's got the speed. He can blow the top off of coverage. Was there any talk about the return game for him? Because I think that may really get a foot in the door, and because he's going to be a backup receiver to come in, but he gives you that big play element once you go to 3-4 wide receiver sets. He can make a quick impact as a kickoff man.
Oh, without question, you just think back to that homecoming game where he's something like he tied the longest return for a touchdown on one of those returns. But then looking back at his Cotton Bowl touchdown as well, it was something like 87 yards. And, that was pretty much 83 yards after catch. Just like you said, his ability downfield, it was actually fascinating that rule as we were kind of in the facility got promulgated down. And we were all just kind of talking about how, on the other hand, that kind of hurts a lot of guys that might want to get onto a team to be one of those special teams guys that just flies down the field as a gunner. But for someone like Jaquan, like you said, these new rules definitely can favor him. And you saw them working him as a returner at the Senior Bowl as well. And that's always been something that Willie Fritz and I believe this new coaching staff will just continue to emphasize, just the ability to get onto a roster. And just talking with Jaquan right before the Senior Bowl, just really watching him grow up, it really feels like he's grown a year since the season ended, but just really has that cerebral understanding that, even though, if it's special teams, that's a great way to get onto a roster. And I've just seen him go from 0 to 100 in front of my face in seconds. And to watch him really run those deep routes yesterday, like you said, even though it's still a little bit of an exhibitionary thing, it was just really nice to see that those guys actually, Pratt can actually throw the ball that far. And Jaquan Jackson can easily get there and get his head turned around in time.
Matty, you and I have talked about this. I think one guy, I don't know if he gets selected or not, but I would think he's got a pretty good chance to make an NFL roster. That's the center in Haynesworth. Okay, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he is so technically he's a great technician, I guess is the best term for it. And he does a fantastic job of controlling everything up front. That I don't know if he's the he's certainly not the prototype size for the center, but I like him as a player. He can play at the NFL level.
Listen, he has all the intangibles, and you just think about the fact that, Michael Pratt comes in halfway through the season as a starter. They're immediately able to get chemistry all the times Kai Horton has come in, and that's just been able to be seamless. And he had never missed a game since he became the starter in 2020 at Tulane. And for all the talk about his size and that lack, he's gone against pretty big linemen, and to have the durability to have never missed a game, but just his leadership, particularly again this last season when there was a stretch that Michael Pratt wasn't there and they really needed these guys to just step up. Sincere Haynesworth was there, but the whole play goes dead if the center and the quarterback can't get on the same page. And there's just never been a day where you even had to wonder that with Sincere and Michael Pratt or Kai Horton and the backups for that matter.
Matty, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it. We'll get you back soon to talk about the new regime and everything sort of sorting out together with the Green Wave. Man, they find a quarterback. You might have something there. Might have something. Thanks so much, Matty. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All righty. Matty Hudak, Tulane football sideline reporter, also host of Before the Whistle podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.